Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
This is not Jonathan Smith's first national signing day. It's just his first national signing day as the Beavers head coach. Beavers coach Jonathan Smith joining us now. What did you do as a player on national signing day?
I don't even remember because I wasn't signing. I couldn't tell you. We came up on a recruiting visit, or I did, the weekend before the signing day up here at Oregon State. But I can't even tell you what I was doing on that Wednesday.
Does that give you, do you look back a little bit as a coach now and think, who am I missing?
You just think about the kids you signed and where we're headed, and you're always looking forward.
What today were you most excited about? Or when you look at the class, what do you see?
I see a bunch of kids that know the place well because they were able to visit. They know the coaches they were going to be dealing with, and they were really confident in the direction Oregon State's going to go. I see a bunch of kids that can fit multiple roles, really, like just from, you know, some of their athleticism and length. They could start on the defensive side, get to the offensive side, and vice versa. You know, I like the offensive skill sets, the guys that be able to catch the ball and do some things when the ball's in their hands / run the ball. So I think it's well-balanced, too. You know, we wanted to get some help at almost each position, and we were able to do that. So there's just a lot of good things as I look at it.
Was it difficult for you coming through the door? Because I think a first-year coach, you kind of have to assess what you have. How do you do that without coaching a game? Do you look at film? Do you talk to people? How do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely watch some film. You definitely look at the roster and their ages, you know, and where we're going to need position help in a year or 2 years if you've got a bunch of juniors or seniors. Definitely, you know, played against these guys the last 4 years, so I had somewhat of an idea of kind of the identity of some of the players and things. And so, you know, and then getting around them and meeting them and seeing them in the weight room a little bit, and you get a feel for it that way. But obviously we'll have a greater grasp of what we have after spring practice and after our first fall.
What did you see as the most pressing needs as you looked around and entered recruiting?
You know, I think big picture, we were trying to get a little taller, a little longer, rangier type athletes, and we were able to get that done this month. That was something that stood out to us that could help us, especially with the schemes we want to run on both sides of the ball, really. We wanted to get some more length, and, you know, we've got a bunch of guys that fit that.
Do you come through the door and measure your guys? Is that something you guys track?
Oh, I mean, you get a feel for them. You stand there next to them, and you do. You get a little height and weight when they come up on a weekend and things. I mean, it's pretty obvious. When if he's looking me in the eyes, he ain't that tall.
And that's what I'm getting at, too, because you did it, and the narrative of your story is, here's this guy that nobody saw coming and took Oregon State to its greatest football season maybe ever. And if that guy can do it, he can show other people how to do it. So how does that guy who was 5'9 or 5'10 get about saying, hey, length matters, height matters, when you made it not matter?
Right. I mean, they do come in all shapes and sizes. And, you know, it's kind of position specific, the scheme you're trying to run. You know, I think quarterback is a little unique in regards to, you know, all those guys. Some are 6'5", some are 5'10", and there's a bunch of good players that are those different sizes. I just think as a holistic approach, as you looked at our roster and what we want to run, especially on defense and some on offense, we wanted to get a little taller, a little length, you know, length to us. And so that was a point of emphasis.
Well, you know, and I'm not trying to pick on you there. I just thought it was really – it's an interesting twist to me that – you know, you get a lot of guys who, you know, you look at Jerry Rice and, you know, what made Jerry Rice the greatest receiver of all time? It wasn't all physical, was it?
No. And that's so much of this part is that, you know, you want to find guys that love football, that want to improve, that can work hard, that has some instincts of the game. And some of that stuff is not that easy to identify, you know, when you're recruiting these kids and, you know, they're all about the recruiting part more than they're truly about playing the game and trying to uncover those rocks to find out exactly the type of kid you're getting and making sure it's clearly communicated that that's the message coming from here, that, you know, it's about developing in constant state of improvement and the love of football, because you can spend a lot of time doing it. And that's some of the magic that goes into, you know, evaluating and recruiting.
We're talking to Jonathan Smith, the Oregon State football coach. How important is it to have mom and dad on board with where the kid's going?
Yeah, I think it's important, man. I really do. We really try to push for the parents to be able to come on the recruiting visit, because, you know, these kids come up and they've got some interest in particular things, whether it's, you know, the gear or the school or the campus itself. But I think the parent perspective is one that can really give some good advice to the recruit. And so we're all about getting to know those people and really beginning a relationship, because hopefully this thing's lasting for 4 or 5 years and getting off on the right foot.
Can you talk about a couple of the kids? Because I know until today you can't really do that. For Beaver fans who are listening and want to get excited about National Signing Day, who do you start the conversation with?
Well, I think, you know, Matthew Togo is a kid that is from Southern California that is really athletic, fits that mold of being a little bit longer. Really, he's a good player on both sides of the ball. He came up on a visit this January with his dad. And, you know, I think he's a guy for sure to get excited about as a group. You know, I think a lot of people like to talk about the quarterback. So we, you know, signed Jack Coletto at a really played high school ball at Campus Washington, had a phenomenal senior year, and then went the junior college route for a season because he wanted to play in the Pac-12. And, you know, the opportunity to come up and do that here was exciting for him. Plus, it's closer to home. Plus, he's got 3 years to play. And that's one thing I did want our approach to be with this class, is get majority of guys that were the high school age or had three years to play, so we can continue to develop. And that's what I think we can make our hay, especially with this staff I was able to surround myself with, is we can develop and coach these guys up. And I'm confident that they're here over a longer period of time. They're going to continue to get better and better and be, you know, able to win games.
What's your stance on the community college kids? I see some coaches who will say, look, it's a stopgap. Other guys will say, look, I'm not going to discount a player just because he went the JC route. Where do you stand?
Yeah, well, we're definitely not discounting them. Just from my history of playing with guys that went the junior college route, you know, there are some good players that come out of there. And there's reasons they're there, and sometimes they're not always that good. But a lot of times it's just, you know, whatever. He was overlooked. He was a late developer. You know, school, he needed to get that right. And so I'm into players that have to work. And if they're about football and school's important, those guys can come from the junior college level.
We're talking to Jonathan Smith, Oregon State's football coach. His first national signing day is the Beavers coach today. Who is the typical Oregon State kid? Because we used to say that kid was lunch bucket kid, overachiever, like you would be the poster boy. Is it still you?
You know, I think they come in all shapes and sizes. I think the guys we're looking for sure love football and are good players that love football and want to be around it and enjoy, you know, playing the game and working at the game and practicing. Those guys, I think the guys we're looking for sure understand the importance of school. You know, I'm not looking for a bunch of guys that have a 4.0 GPA, but I'm looking for guys that realize the importance of getting that degree and are really to work to do it and go to class and then have some classes and really gain some knowledge and learn and grow. And then at the end of the day, I mean, you're looking for guys that are good dudes, that are, you know, good guys to be around. You spend so much time at practicing and meetings and all of this year-round football is now. You want to be around a bunch of good dudes that are, you know, enjoyable to be around.
I love that. A bunch of good dudes. Can we make that the slogan now? Informal?
I think, but that's the reality, right? I mean,
yeah.
All the time. I mean, come on, let's just be around some guys that are good to be around.
It's funny too, because I can tell you're having a good time with it, and you like that camaraderie with the players. Does the rest of this, sometimes how seriously everybody takes it, feel silly to you at times?
You know, silly. I mean, I guess I just do have a different perspective on it, and I get it, and then there's a lot of energy and enthusiasm, and people want to know, And that's great. You know, you want that. But I do think on a, you know, ground floor here, the day-to-day basis of it, I think still the most important stuff is the relationships you're having with these players and coaches, and obviously the way we're practicing and preparing and improving each and every day.
And it's got to be fun, though, doesn't it? I mean, at the end of it, this is why you got in it.
Oh, yeah. This thing is fun. You can let it not be if you focus too much on, you know, outside distractions and all the attention that comes with it. It can be really good and really bad. I think the thing is that's fun is being around good people and really working hard, everyone on the same page, doing it together, because that's why football's the greatest game out there. I mean, 105-some-odd guys all getting on the same page and working as one. It's unique that way, and it's a bunch of fun when you get it right.
Jonathan Smith with us, Oregon State football coach. Before I cut you loose, all right, so all this effort goes into signing these guys. Signing day comes. Does your family get you back tomorrow, or do you turn to 2019, or what happens?
Oh, you know, you always turn into 2019. Shoot, we were working on 2019 even throughout this month as well, but we'll be able to catch up with the family for sure more now, just because I'm not traveling, right? I mean, you're in Corvallis now for the next couple of months, and then spring ball starts, And so that is the top priority now, is kind of get reacclimated with those guys.
So if I have this right, you're looking for a bunch of good, tall dudes.
Yeah, they love football, and school is important, man, that, you know, you enjoy being around. That's right.
I love it.
Not all tall, but you know, we need some athleticism in different spots. But right, for this class, we needed to get longer.
Yeah, like a 6'7" kicker. You know, there, you know, you've arrived.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, congratulations on your first class. I know everybody's really eager to see you coach games. I'm eager to see what you do in the next 5 to 10 to 15 years there.
Well, I appreciate it, John.
All right. Jonathan Smith, Oregon State football coach. He's got his signing class. He wants good dudes. I like him. You like Jonathan Smith? You like what you hear? And you're saying, I know what you're saying. You're going, yeah, you like him. You like him for now. Wait till he coaches some games. I like that he went out and addressed some needs today. I like that he finished strong. I like that he seems to have a handle on what kind of player he wants to sign. And he wants good dudes in this program. Is that the mantra that the marketing department at Oregon State should grab? A bunch of good dudes? Have that be your football program? I don't know. Give me a marketing slogan for Oregon State football. If you're a Duck fan, forget win the day. Forget do something. What should Mario Cristobal's slogan be for Oregon football? 503-417-7575. You help the marketing department next. Make sure you're subscribed to the Bald Faced Truth radio show via SoundCloud and or iTunes. If you're a podcaster or somebody who likes to listen to podcasts or wants the great interviews that we have, including Jonathan Smith, the Oregon State football coach who was just on, you can get all of those things. You can get all of those things on SoundCloud and iTunes. Mike Leach really upset today. Just saw this on Twitter. Mike Leach, his offensive line coach, left for Texas Tech. It's kind of a double-edged sword there. Your coach is leaving, but at the standpoint that you look at it is he's leaving for the university that you hate. He said, I wish Clay the best, but he's got to sort that out himself. From his standpoint, he's going home. But they're on thin ice out there, and if you fall through the ice, you're leaving home pretty quick. That's Clay McGuire, his offensive line coach at Washington State, leaving for Texas Tech. By the way, a Philadelphia Eagles fan is in trouble. Apparently stole a seat from the stadium in Minneapolis after the football game. Philadelphia Eagles fan, if you want to stop being classified as the worst kind of sports fan in America, you have to stop doing things. You can't be punching out horses and going, we're not that bad. throwing beers, full beers in cans at old people and going, we're not that bad, not all of us. But an Eagles fan apparently stole a seat from inside Minneapolis Stadium after the Super Bowl. U.S. Bank Stadium said today that it does not plan to take further action against the fan. It just wants the fan to pay for the seat. The seat has been replaced. Video of the man carrying a purple seat generated 190,000 views on Facebook. Then a traveler also snapped a photo of the guy at the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport with the seat strapped to his carry-on suitcase. Can't get away with that in 2018, buddy. The fan, by the way, only had to pay, guess how much, to replace the seat. If you know the answer, don't answer. But if you don't know the answer, take a guess. Gliss, Droz, Alabama, Adriana, a stadium seat, what does it cost to replace?
I'm going to say $35.
Wow. This is the Price is Right. What do you say, Alabama, Adriana?
$15.
Are you guys kidding me?
This is, I was going to go like $250.
Yeah. I would have said like at $900.
It's just plastic.
The whole seat. The guy took the whole seat out of the thing. Droz, what did he pay?
I have no idea. I said $250. That's my guess.
The cost to replace the seat, including labor, is estimated at $125. The fan was exuberant. He was excited. Is this poor form? Does it get you known as a bad sports fan or a great sports fan that you stole your seat from the Super Bowl? And apparently, on Instagram, the photograph of it has a photograph of the guy with the seat strapped to his bag, and it says, U.S. Bank Stadium, you appear to be missing a seat. The drunk guy next to me has it. Is this bad fan behavior or totally understandable? 503-417-7575. You vandalize the stadium, you steal a seat. Is it totally understandable or is it bad fan behavior? Because to me, this does not fall in the same category as punching out a horse. It doesn't fall in the same category as throwing full beer cans at old people and berating people. It's not punching somebody out at the stadium. If you're vandalizing the stadium, though, that's not good. That's not something I could turn to my kids and go, hey, it's just an excited and exuberant fan who stole the seat. Like, I think if I would have more respect for the guy if he had approached the stadium and said, look, I need to buy that seat. And they said, we can't sell it to you. And him to say, look, I was going to rip it off from the seat, and I didn't want to be in a scenario where I stole a seat from you. Is it bad fan behavior to vandalize in the stadium and take a seat? I have a seat from old PGE Park here in Portland. Somebody gave it to me. Joe Becker, the longtime sports broadcaster at KGW, said, hey, I've got this old seat. It's from PGE Park, you know, and I have this seat. I don't know what to do with it. But it's not like I would love to have a seat from old Candlestick Park that was a real seat. You tell me, is that bad fan behavior? Is that as bad as punching somebody out? Is it as bad as getting in a fight in the bathroom at an NFL game that a guy ripped off a seat? It's stealing, right? Stealing's wrong, we tell kids. But do we dismiss it because it's an exuberant sports fan and we all understand? What's the difference between stealing a seat and stealing Tom Brady's jersey? You weigh in. You have the floor now at 503-417-7575. Charlie's in Vancouver. Charlie, where does this rate for you?
I think that's an awesome one. My buddy just bought a piece of PGE Park, whatever it was, when the Timbers won the championship, and because they got new turf after that. And he's got that in his apartment, and that's a great story to tell. That's nothing like that one, though. I think it's great if he got caught, because then he has to pay retribution, but I hope he gets to keep the seat.
Yeah, he's keeping it.
If you're a Philly fan and you've been dying for that Super Bowl championship forever, you can't brag about, well, yeah, I punched out a horse because we won the championship, or that, the other one you were talking about. But you sure can say, hey, my seat, I paid $1,800 for it, and guess what? I'm keeping it forever so that every time somebody comes into my house, I can tell them all about it and prove that I was there. I think it's awesome.
The seat from the Super Bowl. He also checked it at coat check. So he stole it from the stadium. He checked it at a coat check, then picked it back up, then took it through security at the airport, strapped to his bag, 125 bucks, he'd pay that in a heartbeat. I think if you're Minneapolis Stadium, all you have to do is advertise to Eagles fans, hey, for $300, we'll sell you a seat from the Super Bowl. They'll replace them at 125 apiece. They'll make money on this. They'll sell 50,000 of those seats. I hate to break the news, but there's some money in this for Minneapolis Stadium. Ben's in Beaverton. Ben, how big of a fence is this?
Well, I think on this one, we're going to have to cut it right down the middle and say 49-49, 49 bad fan behavior, 49 totally understand it. And I think he gets 2 points on the pro side for each cojone that it took to pull it off.
If your kid came home with a stadium seat, would you punish him or would you go, that's understandable, don't let it happen again?
High five him and tell him not to ever do it again.
Yeah.
You ever see a major league when Willie Mays Hayes makes the basket catch and then it comes off, the manager Lou shakes his hand and gives him a few choice words?
Yes.
Nice catch, Hayes. That's more or less my feeling on it. Good job. Don't ever do it again.
Yeah, you don't want, as a parent, put yourself in the shoes. And parents, I want to hear from you. Let's say your kid goes to a sporting event, a Ducks game, a Beavers game, a Blazers game. It's a championship game, and your kid comes home with a stadium seat. And you know your kids rip that seat off. Do you do what you do when they're two and they steal a pack of gum from the store, march them back in there to the manager? Or do you go, oh, man, this isn't good. You shouldn't have done that, but I understand it. I don't know, because as a parent, I want to paint in black and white. Gliss, your kids, when they grow up, let's say they're early 20s, they come home with a stadium seat that they have clearly ripped off from a stadium. Are they in trouble or are you high-fiving them?
Probably a little bit of both. I've actually stolen something from a stadium.
Oh, do tell.
When I was younger. Yeah, when I went to the All-Star game in Oakland in 2000, the guy I went with, family friend, we stayed about an hour and a half. Actually, I think we probably got kicked out about 10 times, like, you know, move towards the exits, the game's over. And there was a TV guy, it was still NBC at the time, he was taking down a bunch of wires, and there was a huge banner, you know, kind of the fanfare that's all around the stadium. And they were just held up by Velcro, and this thing was probably about 50 feet long. And we looked over at the guy, we were like, hey, do you know what they're going to do with this? And he's like, I didn't see anything. So we just took it, rolled it up, and it was hanging in my garage in high school.
He kind of gave you permission for that.
Well, he didn't have any authority over the issue, but he just kind of said he wasn't going to stop us.
Tell me if you've stolen anything from a sports stadium. I want to know what you've taken. 503-417-7575.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Baltimore.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.